Making Queer History, Article 1, Sappho, by Harper Hugo Darling. Sappho is known for her poetry and her literary impact on ancient Greece. She lived and wrote sometime in the early 7th century on the island of Lesbos, and her poems mention multiple women with whom she had varying relationships. Leaving ripples throughout queer history, her legacy for loving women led to the creation of labels like sapphic and lesbian, making her a cornerstone of the modern queer community. Despite this fact, her legacy remains hotly contested. While she is highly regarded now, she was not always treated with such dignity. Her story is filled with rumors, gossip, and half-truths. At one point, she was a stock figure in ancient Greek comedies, and some of the more wild theories of her life can be sourced from these. Sappho's life led to the creation of the word lesbian. While the word initially described fellatio between a man and a woman, her reputation for loving women shifted it to the term as it is used today. In fact, Sappho had quite an impact on queer linguistics. Her name created the word sapphic, describing romantic love between two women. During her lifetime, Greece was relatively accepting of same-gender attraction, though more so in the case of men. It is worth noting that even the grandest speculation about her did not always exclusively come from homophobia. While Christianity was experiencing a period of intense political power, Christian leaders aimed to burn as much of her work as possible. For a time, minimizing her love for and attraction to women meant her work was protected from extremists. Unfortunately, because of this, there are not many primary sources in the discussions around Sappho's life, leaving even the most simple details in question. Some sources judge her as beautiful, while the opposition say she was ugly. There are even tales of two Sapphos. One was a virtuous poet and the other a notorious slut. On the more accepted end of the speculation spectrum is Sappho's husband. Named Kirkilus, he was introduced by the Suda, an encyclopedic lexicon written centuries after Sappho's death. This was not the first time her story had included a husband, or a male lover, and though a man would not negate her queerness, her supposed husband's name translates to penis from men's island, suggesting that he may be a fabrication. Willis Bardenstone, a religious scholar and translator, writes of these theories saying, "It is no less than astonishing how otherwise temperate scholars become outraged and imaginatively unobjective at the slightest suggestions by others of moral frivolity on Sappho's part." The most considerable blow to discussions of her and her work came in 391 CE, when a mob of Christian zealots partially destroyed the Library of Alexandria, which housed 9 volumes of her poetry. From this point on, the effort to understand her life and preserve her work has been more of a piecemeal operation. What remains of her writings mostly comes from original papyrus fragments, quotes from other works, and mummy wrappings. Even these fragments are debated. Despite how everything known about Sappho is speculation, at best rumors and gossip, it is still controversial that the best source of information is her work. After years of theorizing about her sexuality and editing and mistranslating her work with the aim of erasing her queerness, historians have settled on a take. Her queer poetry was not, in fact, autobiographical. Most seem content to accept that the poems are autobiographical when discussing things like politics or a feud with friends, but they balk as soon as it comes to her sexuality. In these cases, there is a divide between Sappho the poet and the speaker of the poem. If such a claim was valid, then truly nothing can be known of the real Sappho. Queer or otherwise, historians and writers have not been a united front of homophobic erasure. Had they been, there would likely be nothing left of her memory. Fortunately, Sappho's legacy may remain, if only because she is impossible to ignore. Though there is little of her work left, she once had 9 volumes of poetry, all of which were well-loved and referenced by other famous writers. Plato, who was not known for enjoying poetry, even said, "Some say the muses are 9. How careless. Look, there is Sappho too, from Lesbos, the 10th. Horace wrote in his odes that Sappho's work was worthy of sacred admiration. Her work is known as some of the best poetry of all time, full of wit and eloquence, inspiring other writers for thousands of years to come. She is also credited with musical innovations throughout her life, as most of her poems started their lives as songs. Through all of this, Sappho has become as much of a figurehead as she was a poet. Activist groups are named after her. Books are written about her. Queer people identify themselves with her. She is the proof that homosexuality is not new, but as old as the legends themselves. She is also proof that through the fires of religious zealots, the alienation of academic institutions, the fear, the deeply conditional love, queer people remain on the pages of history. If you want to support Sharing Queer History, check out our Patreon at patreon.com/queerhistory. Thank you.